We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in one more time to the Refresh Radio program right here on Wednesday morning. We want to start off by saying thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you need help here in the central part of Brevard County, you can give them a call, and they will come out, take a look at your unit if it's not cooling appropriately, and listen. This is just an honest confession. I don't do lack of air conditioning well. It's just not cool at all in more ways than one. And so if you are like me and you listen, when I was in retail, the pay wasn't much. I considered the air conditioning of the store to be part of my benefit package. That was one of the things that I literally helped me to cope with the lower echelon of pay. And so if you want air conditioning and it's not working properly, give the folks at Creative AC Solutions a call, 321-759-3284. Listen, they can handle anything from a window unit. Bill works on some massive, massive systems, far bigger than what I can comprehend. And he's very, very knowledgeable in refrigeration and air conditioning systems. He is phenomenal. So give him a call if you need your system up and running as soon as possible. Also want to remind you, tonight there is no adult Bible study. There is a Wednesday night service. It is an out-of-school celebration for our kids, where we're just going to have a great and phenomenal time. There's going to be games. There's going to be food. There's going to be the Word of God. And so it's just going to be a great time of celebration. It's not broken down into boys' classes and girls' classes tonight. The fun is on at Merritt Assembly of God, 6:30 tonight. Be sure and be there and be a part of that and get ready for everything that God is going to do. Today is the day that we're asking our kids to have their registration in for kids' camp and youth camp so that we can get them off for a week of learning about God, encountering God, seeing God do amazing things. Last year at camp, there was a person who was deaf, I believe, and their hearing was restored during camp. That happened here in Florida, and that's just awesome. It's just awesome to see what God is doing in the lives of young people. And that was at kids' camp. That wasn't even youth camp. That was kids' camp. So it might have been 2 years ago, but great, great things happening. And so we are going to be investing in our kids and getting them off to have a God encounter this summer. I want to take you in the scriptures today. First of all, let me take you to Psalm chapter 7, or the 7th Psalm. Do you realize that the original hymn books, they had words to, or they had put the Psalms to music. And so your original reading books in schools in America was the Bible. And to see how far we have come to where now the Bible is not only not used as the reading book, it's almost taboo to even talk about that in the public school system. Many of the schools and communities met in churches because that was one of the buildings that was available. And I think it's pretty helpful to remember where we come from. It helps you to remain and to keep your bearings where we are as a society and realize whether we're on course or off course, and you can make the call on that. Psalm 7 says this about, in my Bible, it says, a meditation of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjamite. And I don't know about you, but I think it's pretty awesome that God can take a verbal assault from someone and turn it into an eternal moment. That's what happened here, where David was verbally assaulted, and he was the king, and God transformed that moment, and it became the seventh psalm, and it is settled forever in heaven and on earth. This is the passage. It says, O Lord, my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me, and deliver me lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord, my God, if I have done this, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who was at peace with me, or have plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue me and overtake me. Yes, let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Selah. And that's as far as we're going to read. I told you that during this series where we are dealing with Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 and 11 and 12, where we're dealing with Jesus and the Beatitudes, where it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So one of the things that I mentioned is that during this series that I'm teaching on, that I wanted to make sure that I gave you steps for navigating persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So it's not necessarily an anomaly if persecution comes. It's really kind of the norm. It's supposed to be something that the enemy uses to try and distract us from pursuing a life of godliness. So the step that I want to focus on here in Psalm number 7, and then we're going to move on to the next one, and you would see some of these steps over and over and over again, is that when you are being verbally assailed, where you are being persecuted, and the real possibility of physical harm comes to you, it's in verse number 2, it says, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. Okay, so David, while all of this persecution was going on, realized that there wasn't any human intervention coming his way. But that did not mean that he was not going to be delivered. And so it says, O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. And that's the step that I want to focus on to begin today's broadcast with, is we need to trust God. Now, the best time to learn to trust God is before there is a crisis. So I tell people, you know, if you have not been through a crisis, if you are not in a crisis, just hang on a while, because we live in a fallen world. A challenge is probably coming your way sooner or later. And the best thing to do is to put your trust in God before that crisis arises. Do you know that the Bible says some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the Lord our God. Some trust in the size of their army. Some trust in their skill set. Some trust in their bank account. And you can eventually identify where someone has put their trust. If you hang on or hang around them long enough, they will reveal the things that they have their trust in. I know some people that they're not part of Merit Assembly of God, but their trust is in the job field that they have placed, and it's very, you know, they think it's going to go on forever. But I've known other people that worked in that industry, and I found out that that the thief likes to operate in that industry. The reason that I know it is because a number of the people that I have encountered in that industry were prone to addictions. Addictions are nothing to make light of. Listen, the thing about addictions is it will make you think that it is in control, that you are in control of it, when actuality it is in control of you. And whether that's whether that addiction is drugs or alcohol or immorality, whatever it might be, there's addictions there, and you need to understand one thing, and that is that the enemy's intent is to snuff you out. And when you have put your trust in that thing that is not God, and that source of trust is yanked out from underneath you, then you are left, and there is no one to come to your rescue on a physical or a human deliverance. But that doesn't mean that you are without hope. It does not mean that you are without without a source. If you have put your trust in God, let me just read verse number 2. Lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces, while there is none to deliver. Okay, you got that? That's the human aspect. Let me take you back up to verse number 1. O Lord, my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me. So while there was no human deliverance coming, David said, I know that I can trust my God. Isn't it interesting that on our money, which, so many people trust in, so much trust in your stock portfolios and your 401ks and all of that sort of stuff, and on the dollar bills and all in the coins, it says this: in God we trust. That money, your health, your skill set, none of that was supposed to be your source of trust and confidence. God is. And if you have learned to trust God when there were no problems, when the problems come, you will be so much more persuaded, because you will find that you can not only trust him in the valleys, you can trust him on the mountains. You can trust him on land, and you can trust him on sea. And God will take all of those challenges that you face, any persecution that comes your way, where it doesn't appear like there's any natural source of help coming, and he will show up and he will show off, and you will have been set up to have your trust grounded in him to a whole new level. So the first step that I want to talk to you about today is trust the Lord your God. Now, I believe that that should be a natural thing, not something that we have to boost our morale to. It shouldn't be something that we say, okay, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. That's not what God, you know. When I walked into the radio studio this morning, I sat down in the chair, and I didn't give any consideration at all to whether the chair was trustworthy, because I have sat in the chair for going on 5 years now, and it's never failed me. It's never failed me. I have so much trust in it that I take it for granted that whenever I come in, it's still going to be functioning just as well as it was the last time that I was here. And I hope that you have walked with God so long that you have found that you can trust him. When the sun is shining and when it's pouring down rain, you can still trust him. So that's step number 1 that we're going to talk about today. Let's go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. We may not get all the way through this particular psalm today. This is also a messianic psalm. Again, it is to the chief musician, a psalm of David. David was an expert on persecution. He knew what it was like to be in danger from the Philistines. He knew what it was like to be in dangerous situation with lions and bears. He knew what it was like when people were in his own court were trying to take him out of the picture, shall we say. He knew what it was like for his family to go against him. He knew what it was like for the king to go against him. He knew what persecution was like. He was very skilled at it. And so in verse number 1, it says this: "In you, O Lord, I put my trust." There we have that same thing that we just talked about. "Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." And so I want to talk to you about a couple of other steps. And it talks about here in verse number 3, "For you are my rock and my fortress, therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me." Do you realize that one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit was dispatched from heaven into our hearts to where we are recognized as the temple of the Holy Spirit is that he is intent on guiding us into all truth? And the problem with "the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters" is, and I know that that's not, a full quote. I just wanted to emphasize that one word there, is we do not like to be led. I come from cattle country. Cattle country, you drive cattle, but you lead sheep. Sheep have the responsibility to follow, and the shepherd has the responsibility to lead. And the way that that works is you develop a very powerful and very close relationship with the shepherd. And I hope that you have that relationship in your life. We are absolutely blessed. As my wife is rehabbing, we are blessed with wonderful people at Merit Assembly of God. We actually had, while my wife was in the hospital, one of our other ladies was in the hospital. She was three doors down. And before they both left the same day. One left earlier in the day, and my wife left a little bit later in the day. And this other lady said, "I've got to stop and see Cindy on the way out." And so we got to visit with them, and they got to visit with us. And, I hope that you have the type of relationship where you have someone that is watching over your soul. Because it is a great privilege. I am so thankful that I have a pastor that's still alive who believed in me and believes in me still. And you know what? He was there when I was going through one of the most difficult times in my life. And he reminded me of the call and the equipping. And he told me, "Don't believe everything that you hear. Believe what God says. Believe what God says." And so you let God lead. Now, that's a lot easier to say behind a radio microphone than it is to implement in real life. And so I just want to let you know that it is a challenge. I do not do well in the passenger seat. Now, I did better at the men's conference. We ended up going driving back and forth. And when we were transporting back and forth over there, I had no anxiety whatsoever about that. I was, you know, helping to direct to the facility that the driver had never been to. And I had great confidence in his ability because I know how well he takes care of his vehicle. He takes care of that thing really, really well. Well, that's, you know, being in the passenger seat is not something that I'm all that accustomed to. And sometimes I've ridden with some people that caused me a little bit of anxiety because of their driving technique, just saying. But with God, we can have the utmost confidence in his ability to lead. So step number one that we talked about in Psalm 7 was trust in the Lord your God. The second thing that I can tell you today is let God lead. And you know, you might think, well, God, this is a crazy place to be setting up a banquet right here in the presence of mine enemies. But God says, you know what? You worry about eating, and I will take care of the enemies. Do you realize that that's what the shepherd would do? He would bring the sheep, and their responsibility would be to eat, and the shepherd would be watching out for the enemies. So, third step, into your hands I commit my spirit. And it says one more thing here right before that. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. So David says, I'm going to put all of this into your hands because I can trust you. You have redeemed me, and you are my strength. And again, this is a messianic psalm. This is something that literally played out on the cross, not as a game, but in real life, where Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You know, I don't know if you've ever realized how faithful God is, but he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Going through persecution, it may be a physical or a mental or a verbal or emotional assault, but you need to realize that the target is spiritual. The enemy wants to do damage to your spirit. The enemy wants to try and drive a wedge of trust in between you and God. The enemy wants to try and get you out of the passenger seat and into the driver's seat. And God is saying, if you will let me lead, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this, and it's going to be glorious. It's going to cause you to be looking back and saying, you know, testifying about how God delivered you from the net, from the trap that the enemy had set before you. You're going to be telling people, look what God has done. Look what God has done. So step one, trust the Lord. Step number two, let God lead for his name's sake. And step number three, commit your spirit into his hands, and he never, ever fails. He never, ever fails. You say, but he hasn't answered all of my prayers the way that I wanted them answered. He hasn't done mine that way either. You say, well, what's the problem? Or why pray if he's not going to answer the way that we want to? Listen, I'm not in the position to tell God how to do his job. I do know this. He has a very long track record of success, of being on the throne. He has a very long list of accolades, of times that he has delivered people from the pit, delivered them from the snare. He has a very long resume of confounding the plans of the enemy. And he has thousands and thousands upon millions and millions of references of people that he has safely brought into his eternal rest. And that number is only going to continue to grow. Realize one more thing here today, and that is in verse number 14, for you are my strength. And today I want you to know that you are not serving a puny God. You are not serving a mentally incapacitated God. You are not serving a fragile, old, senile God. You are serving the Ancient of Days. He's your strength. The strength in our covenant relationship with him is not him being, or not us being bound to him, but him being bound to us. He is our strength. He is our fortress. And so I just want to let you know that his strength has not diminished. It has not failed one bit. You can trust him. You can trust him with the traps that the enemy has set before you. You can trust him with if physical affliction has come your way. You can trust him if persecution has come your way. You can trust him if close friends have lifted up their knives to plant them deep in your back. You can trust him if people who were supposed to have been your allies or turned out to be your enemies, you can trust him. And so I realize that this series on persecution may not be, you know, all that thrilling, but it is necessary because God sets us up to succeed and not to fail. And so I want to give you these little nuggets that are hidden in these passages of steps that we can take so that we do not lose heart, we do not give up hope, and we do not miss the victory that God has for us. Whenever I'm talking about God leading, and God has led me, I will tell you, on an adventure I never dreamed of in Bible college. He's taken me places I never would have gone to had it not been for him. And one of my favorite verses that has to do with God leading is this: God always leads his people in triumphal procession. That means that when God leads, there is only one outcome, and that is victory. It might not be easy, but it is going to be victory. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.